You know what? It's been a long week. We talked about Gucci Mane's release from prison, the hashtag Never Hillary, and we enjoyed a special concert in GPB's performance space. Now, it's time to sit back, relax, and celebrate Friday. Let's head into the break room.
No disrespect, but 12 years of slave, roots, underground, I can't watch none of that.
But the fact is, like, people go to zoos all the time, and this never happens. So at a certain point, you have to say, like, what went wrong?
Like, what's the variable?
You have a remake of a nearly perfect movie that you're never going to top in a million years, and then you just put a bunch of women in it, and then it's just everyone's going to blame that and then think that women suck more.
Joining us in the break room, on that note, Sam Burnham is curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. HB Cho is a reporter for the Korean Daily. Stefan Turkheimer is a lawyer and editor for Georgia Poll. And Jessica Szilagyi writes the perspicacious conservative blog, joins us from Savannah. Hi, Jessica.
Good morning.
And everybody else, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
Well, let's start with Roots. Let's start at the Roots. The very highly anticipated remake of Roots aired on the History Channel earlier this week. It has starring actors like Lawrence Fishburne and Forrest Whitaker. Critics have called it a big success, but not everybody has. The story of Roots is set largely during slave times. Rapper Snoop Dogg posted a profanity-laced video on Instagram, and he railed against the miniseries and all other recent productions that focus on black misery.
I mean, I don't understand America. They just want to just keep showing the abuse that we took hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But guess what? We're taking the same abuse. Think about that part. When y'all gonna make a motherfucking series about the success that black folks is having?
Okay, so who here thinks Snoop has a point?
Well, all right, he certainly has a point. But as a close follower of Snoop's Instagram, I'm going to tell you the only thing he likes is weed. He dislikes everything else. And I don't think the star of Half-Baked and Soul Plane should be lecturing us about films. That's my take.
Okay.
Usually we hear about the reverse argument where people say, oh, a black man was elected president. So if there's a black person not succeeding at something, then that's his fault. And then, but the reverse argument is
interesting.
Right. But now say what, you know?
I'm looking at it. If he wants these movies, he's got money. Make them.
That's exactly right.
Make the movies. Let us see what he thinks the movie should look like.
Now, I should mention, we don't have in our panel, for the first time in a very, very long time, any African Americans in the panel. So if you are out there and you agree with Snoop, we want to hear from you. You can text. You know how to get in touch with us. It's tweet at OSD Talk or post on Facebook.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Snoop is middle-aged, so if you're middle-aged as well, you should tweet. Represent his point of view.
Maybe he's just getting to be a little more curmudgeonly in his middle age.
Oh, no, he's been pretty curmudgeonly for a very long time.
He's had a sitcom rejected. That's what this thing is all about.
All right. Well, I'm not sure how popular this one summer blockbuster might be.
It's a class 4 apparition. It's okay. She seems peaceful.
My name is Erin Gilbert, doctor of particle physics.
That stuff went everywhere, by the way, in every crack. Very hard to wash off.
Okay, so the teaser for the new all-female Ghostbusters movie is the most disliked movie trailer in YouTube history. But here's what happened. There was an organized campaign on both Reddit and 4chan to downvote this trailer, and it succeeded. Now, lead actress Melissa McCarthy says that online trolls like the ones who organized this campaign might be people who don't have any friends. She says, I have a visual of those people not having a partner or spouse, not having friends, so they're just sitting there and spewing hate into this fake world of the internet. Okay, so has Melissa McCarthy figured out trolls?
Yes. I mean, trolls are a part of the internet world, but I have a hard time believing that a bunch of downward likes on YouTube is going to tank a movie altogether.
Are you going to go see it, Jessica?
Well, no, but I had no idea about it before. I didn't even have TV, so.
You need to know, what you need to know about Jessica, she's very pro-ghost. So just she doesn't like how the movie ends.
Oh, that's okay. Right. She's pro-Spectre.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Look, there's a bunch of 12-year-olds on the internet who are terrible. Men in general are terrible, but these are especially terrible dudes.
Wait, you don't mean literally 12-year-olds, because I think that's giving people a pass. There's plenty of adults that are trolls.
There might be some 14-year-olds. No, I agree with you. As someone who has a secret Twitter handle, I know all about this, but I'm a troll for good. No, I'm not a troll for evil.
Give me an example of a trolling thing that you've written.
Oh, well, I mean, then I'd have to out myself. But most of them are about Jim Barksdale.
Sam or HB, are trolls people that have no friends?
I mean, I think you're going to see the 30-year-old, 12-year-old, like Stefan just mentioned, that's sitting in his mom's basement and is, you know, in his pajamas, mad at the world because he's sitting in his parents' basement in his pajamas. And he's looking for whatever way to elevate himself or herself, for that matter, whoever. But there's a lot of trolls out there. Anybody that has a Twitter account knows there's trolls out there.
Do downvotes on YouTube influence whether you're going to see a movie or not?
I'm going to see it twice now to fix this problem.
I don't think upvotes would have made me go see this movie. I'm sort of the purist. I'm an old Ghostbusters fan.
You like
fan,
the original?
So, yes.
Okay.
Are we going to talk about the Ariane Swifty? But I think the same group of people who are downvoting all these things, that are also claiming...
People might wonder why you just mentioned Arians and Taylor Swift, but we will explain in just a moment.
Since
mentioned it, let's go there so people don't think you just pulled that out of your pocket for no reason. Obviously, Taylor Swift, very popular, but she's in the headlines at this moment for her popularity with a very specific group, neo-Nazis. A white supremacist blog recently called Taylor Swift the, quote, perfect Aryan goddess. That blog goes on to say that Swift's songs contain hidden conservative messages and that she will eventually reveal her true ideology only when Donald Trump becomes president. So, HB, you already have thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think it's just a really, really creepy fan fiction that... And that moment that it turns out that Taylor Swift actually has black friends, these people's souls are going to be crushed. And they're going to be like, oh, man, we still got each other, right? Let's go to the backyard and burn some wood.
Well, I mean, look, even if they lose Taylor Swift, they still got, like, White Lion, right? White Riot, and, I don't know, NSYNC. So they'll be fine.
Okay, well, Jessica, weren't you just about to say something?
I mean, I have a hard time accepting when we can't control our outside endorsements. I don't think Ted Cruz was looking to be endorsed by Caitlyn Jenner. So I kind of compare it to that, where she probably has no idea what they're talking about.
See, but here's the thing, is people are making assumptions about Taylor Swift and her politics based on the fact that her Instagram feed is full of her friends that are all white. And is that fair?
It's not entirely fair, but she is pretty white. I mean, like, if we can be honest about this, Taylor Swift is one of the whitest people.
Coming from a very white person.
I am very white as well. I cannot be in the sun for more than, like, 30 seconds. But Taylor Swift can't
go in a bright
room.
Oh, you're talking about the actual color.
Would you look at a very fair-complected, blonde-headed lady and they say, oh, well, she's the Aryan goddess, and we're talking about people who idolize a dark-haired, brown-eyed man from Germany in the 1930s.
You're referring to Hitler.
Right. Adolf Hitler. There's nothing...
We are spending entirely too much time thinking about the thoughts of white supremacists. First of all, their music choices have historically been terrible.
and
wait a second.
And honestly, they really have. Like,
they're going to grab.
We can argue
any...
about Wagner, but most of them are real bad.
Right. They're looking for some sort of legitimacy or whatever. Let's attach ourselves to Taylor Swift. She's winning a lot of stuff lately. So,
is that what they're looking for? I mean, I feel like it's more like what HB Cho was saying, that they're like seeing her Instagram feed full of also quite very pale, complected people, and they feel a kinship.
I can see where they would feel
I'm making
the kinship,
everybody uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you see somebody that looks like you, that has friends that look like you, then yes, you probably are going to feel some sort of a kinship to them. But that's what you get for going on looks and not actually listening to what someone says or seeing what someone does when they're not on Instagram or...
I take offense to that. Taylor Swift is beautiful on the inside, too.
Oh. How do you know? Do you know her personally?
Well, I follow her on Instagram.
That's where you get back to the whole idea of Dr. King, not judging a person by their Instagram looks or the color of their skin.
We're also getting a lot of clues into Stefan's Instagram following. Izzy's follow Snoop Dogg as well. So, okay, we have about 3 minutes, and I want to talk about a presidential candidate that's just hasn't gotten, you know, a place at the debates or a lot of media coverage. A satirical Twitter account and Facebook page has surfaced for a giant, deadly meteor with presidential aspirations called the Sweet Meteor of Death, or SMOD, promises to make a big impact, be tough on Putin and Iran and everyone else, actually, because they're going to wipe out not just ISIL, but all life on Earth. So, look, this is obviously not serious, but is it an indication of this, the place or our mindset in this election?
Yes. I bought the bumper sticker that says, just end it already. I'm ready.
Okay.
I would say Sweet Meteor Death is actually my number two candidate, so yes.
If you go onto the Facebook page or the Twitter feed, you'll see the campaign promises and, you know, fully prepared to deliver. Stefan?
I don't think that we should spend a lot of time encouraging people to think the worst of our political system. And whenever we do things like this, it just makes people feel worse and worse about politicians and makes people tune out of it. And part of the reason our political system is difficult is because so many people don't vote and don't pay attention and think everybody involved is terrible. So I am officially against this death meteor, though of course I do have
Sweet
a
Meteor of Death. Could you get the name right?
I apologize to Sweet Meteor of Death. I do, of course, have it above Donald Trump. But, I mean, still, I think
Hashtag never meteor.
Yeah, never meteor.
Never meteor. Oh.
You think that things like this incur... Or
yes.
I feel like they're a
reflection.
Celestial
part of the problem.
I've been told that so many times. You have no idea, Stefan. But don't you think it might be just a reflection of current thoughts about politics?
Sure. It's a chicken and egg situation, though. And I think that this encourages people to tune out and sort of decide that their potential leaders are not worthy of their support, rather than sort of saying, look, people are complicated. There are things you like about them, things you don't. You need to make a choice.
I feel like a lot of the very active, kind of almost getting violent types in the Bernie Sanders campaign might be the ones who write in
Sweet Meteor.
Sweet Meteor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we also had a violent clash at a Trump rally last night. In any case, I am hanging out in the break room, and we are going to be back in just a moment. I'm here with Sam Burnham of All the Biscuits in Georgia, H.B. Cho of the Korean Daily, Stefan Turkheimer of Georgia Poll, and Jessica Szilagyi of the Perspicacious Conservative blog. We're going to talk about why rapper Big Boy thinks Florida Evans is the ideal mother for today's youth. This is On Second Thought. Okay, remember Memorial Day, just this Monday? Atlanta rapper Big Boy stirred up a little controversy that day. He posted a meme on social media about mothers. On the left side was a picture of Florida Evans. She's the mom on the show Good Times.
Now, if you want that button sewed, you sew it yourself. Then make the lunch for the children. Wash the dishes, do the laundry, make the beds, and sweep the floor. And see how you'd like being mother, housewife, diplomat, referee, counselor, cook, seamstress, and sparring partner with no pay and no fringe benefits.
Next to that picture was a scantily picture of a scantily clad woman, very scantily clad, with her children. And the caption read, "And we act like we don't know what's wrong with these kids." Okay, I'm going to go to Jessica first because she's the only female on our panel today. Jessica, what do you think? And who made him the arbiter of mothers?
I mean, I definitely don't agree with his criticisms, but and I think that, you know, as we've allowed our society to become more sexualized, that there's going to be criticisms with that. But he has a point in that the traditional 1950s June Cleaver mom is pretty much a thing of the past and probably not ever coming back, just and for good reasons and for maybe not so good reasons.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in here?
Oh, look. All right. As probably the only person on this panel that has closely viewed Big Boy's Cribs episode, I would like to point out that...
Do you follow him on Instagram?
I do follow him on Instagram. Okay. Thank you, Celeste. in that Cribs episode, he has a stripper pole in his living room. I think it might be a bit hypocritical to now criticize these women. I will say, in his defense, it was decorated very well. A lot of people, when they put a stripper pole in, they feel like they have to put zebra fabrics everywhere. He did not do that.
No, he does not allow moms on his stripper poles.
No. Well, It might be self-selective.
You know that for sure, HB?
No, but probably.
I think they're mostly pre-moms.
This has been confirmed by two independent sources.
When I saw this story, first I went and I Googled Big Boy to find out who he was.
Don't tell me that.
Man, get out. Do the rest of the show from outside.
And then I read through the story and I actually noticed a tweet that I thought really kind of sums up this problem. And it was by Shakari Briggs. And she mentioned the fact that it takes two parents to make a child, so it should take two parents to raise a child. And I think there's an equal responsibility that falls on, like Jessica was talking about, the traditional parenting model. Hey, post some dads, Big Boy. Let's see what kind of dad you want to model for children today. And if that's going to be the issue, let's talk about moms and dads.
Yeah, but someone had to take the photo. Surely that was the dad.
Oh, come on.
Give us a selfie, Dad. Let's see what you're doing.
Oh, boy. This is definitely something our listeners are likely to have an opinion on. So if you want to share yours with us, you can tweet us at OST Talk. Okay. So speaking of mom bashing, there's another instance going around on the internet this week. Over the weekend, you may recall, a young boy crawled past the protective railing at the Cincinnati Zoo. He fell into the gorilla enclosure. A male gorilla named Harambe grabbed the boy, and after 10 minutes, zoo officials shot and killed the gorilla. We asked a few Atlantans what they thought about the whole thing, and here are some of their responses.
I mean, the baby looked scared, but it looked like it was trying to play with it as its own baby. Wish they put a tranquilizer or whatever you call that, to just so it could fall asleep without having to kill, like, the gorilla.
When it comes to making decision between human's life or an animal's life, absolutely we have to protect the human's life.
I think the parents should be held somewhat responsible for this. If they were to watch their child, the gorilla would still be running around in the zoo.
Okay, so that person said the parents, which sets it aside from most of the stuff we've seen on social media, which has all been about the mom. But here's my question. Can we take this one step deeper? Can I ask you, do accidents even occur anymore? Do we accept that accidents happen? Or is there somebody that we can blame for every single tragedy that occurs?
I certainly hope so. I think we should much more concentrate on negligence rather than accidents. Everyone has to be at fault, Celeste. Come on now.
You're a lawyer.
Well, that's true.
Let's move on to the next person.
I do have a profit interest here.
I think we do need to address the fact that this is not a perfect world. In fact, it's a pretty cruel world at times. And you're going to have accidents. You're going to have a mistake. And we're talking about a mom who just saw her 3-4-year-old son drug through a water feature by a gorilla. She's probably been through the ringer enough that I don't necessarily think she needs to wind up in jail over this.
And I don't actually think that she should be blamed for this. I mean, I think this is just something that happens.
What if she sues the zoo?
Yes, what if she sues the zoo? For what exactly?
For
an ill-tempered gorilla?
Here's
what you could sue the zoo for. They didn't seem to have any kind of a plan to deal with this situation. They should have had some kind of idea. I don't know if you throw bananas into the corner or what, but you should have some idea of what you're going to do in this situation. Whether you've caged a gorilla or a concrete donkey, you have to have some kind of plan for what happens if someone gets into that enclosure. And the reality is, all of these people were yelling, and clearly the gorilla was getting more and more upset. They had no kind of situation, no sort of idea of how to deal with it.
I think I feel the opposite, because I feel like the decision to kill the gorilla instead of tranquilize it or do something else, and take the risk of gorilla killing the boy, but also try to save both lives. I think that decision. Decision to kill the gorilla was made because of the worry of being sued if it goes wrong, because of that culture.
Oh,
of
I see.
If the boy was harmed just a little bit, then they're gonna worry about being sued and then being all over the media and then having to shut down the whole place.
It was a very valuable and rare gorilla. Jessica, you haven't weighed in yet.
Well, I mean, I think it's a terrible situation all around. I think everyone is to blame. And I agree with the last statement that it was a calculated move to shoot the gorilla. I was actually surprised that they even had the means to kill a gorilla, or any animal for that matter, with a weapon. I would not have expected that to be one of their game plans, or to have anybody prepared to do that.
Well, as it turns out, they actually have a very specific plan. They do. in place that everyone was trained in.
They should have tried the throw the bananas in the corner thing first.
You are being very discriminatory towards gorillas.
I'm very, this is
you
very
are
pro,
assuming
my plan is
all,
pro-gorilla.
You're assuming that all gorillas would go running for a banana.
You're suggesting shooting the gorilla over feeding it. I think I'm being pro-gorilla.
Shooting any gorillas, Stefan.
I think most of the gorillas on Twitter will support me. I would like to see them all, you know, come to my aid at this time.
Okay, Coco the gorilla does sign language, which doesn't work that well on Twitter.
Oh, that's a good point. Mochis, maybe?
Oh, for the love of Pete.
<All right.
laughs> So, but I mean, everything that we all agreed with here is that the mom is not to blame. Did everybody agree on that?
I think essentially the four-year-old is his own fault.
Oh, yeah.
And
here we
I
go.
Mean, yeah.
No, I'm with you. Keep going.
Yeah, and then you make, when you're four, you make mistakes like that. And you can't be blamed for that.
This
so.
Is going to be the best college essay ever.
But here's the thing. I mean, what kind of empathy do we have for this kid who's going to grow up and everybody's saying, you're the reason this beautiful, rare gorilla was killed?
And really, he was being a four-year-old little boy that was very curious. And
yeah, so he's just being very, very curious. A little bit over-the-top curious.
Okay.
Well, I think the media reaction has been over-the-top.
Yes.
The media reaction?
If you really you said meteor reaction. My mistake.
If you really look at the two sides now, you've gone from blame the mom, blame the zoo to I have to talk about this to I don't want to talk about this.
Well,
so it's
yeah.
sort of the I'm sick of hearing about Harambe the gorilla faction as well as well we have to talk about this.
That's fine, you know. There's also people who say, well, this is why we shouldn't have zoos.
Right. We're imprisoning gorillas. I mean, what do you expect to happen?
Really? This is the guy that who's discriminated against them all by assuming they like bananas.
I'm trying to feed them, Celeste. You're the one that wants to shoot them.
All right, let's talk about something else. Atlanta, still one of the top 10 worst cities for traffic in the U.S. We can all agree on that, right? We can't agree, though, on how to expand public transit and if we should expand public transit to try and solve this problem. But it turns out you can actually create your own solution. There's a new digital tool that was created by Citizens for Progressive Transit that allows anybody to build their own virtual transit system. MartaMenu.com includes options for MARTA expansion, improvements to the Beltline, increased bus service, and then it tells you how much your whole thing costs. So hopefully you guys all went and tried this out. I did. Boy, was mine expensive. But tell me what the final price tag was for each of you.
I can get it done for just an extra $1 billion, and I've got everything fixed. Yeah. I've
okay.
got a screenshot of it. I will make it available. This is not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
A billion.
Well,
Sam?
I mean,
I can beat that. Mine was a mere $733 million for the 25% increase in bus service and the rapid bus service on Memorial Drive so that I can get back and forth from historic Oakland Cemetery to homegrown Georgia. And if you've ever had a comfy chicken biscuit, you understand the $733 million, that is a drop in the bucket for the quality product that you're going to be receiving.
Okay. HB, what was your price tag?
For me, it's because everything is already in place. So for me, it was just a mere drop of $1.50 for
what?
The fare.
Oh.
I can't take, it's just going to take 2 hours to get here.
Walking is free. Y'all are some streetcar haters, I can tell right now.
Yeah, I can't, I'm in Marietta. There's no getting there from here for me. Jessica, how much did yours cost?
I spent all of the money on the Beltline, every penny that was available.
Yeah, Jess, good job.
So how much was it? Yeah.
Wasn't it like $2 billion or something?
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a lot. I spent all the money, but you know, we keep talking about how we want Atlanta to be more, you know, walk and bike friendly, but we won't pay for it. So I paid for it.
It's odd to hear a conservative say that.
That's $2 billion. You could build two
superfluous
sports stadiums for $2 billion.
Oh, here we go.
But you can't get there.
It is Friday. We're hanging out in the break room. My guests are blogger Sam Burnham, who is sarcastic today, Korean Daily reporter H.B. Cho, Georgia Poll editor Stefan Turkheimer, and blogger and writer Jessica Szilagyi. Since we're speaking of traffic, it looks like we're most likely going to be stuck in our cars, especially as the Metro Atlanta population is supposed to grow by the millions over the next few years. One of the biggest dangers is actually road rage. Fatal road rage accidents have risen by more than 30% in the past 6 years. So they're trying new things to try and combat this. There's a group called Reaching Out Against Road Rage. And I wonder if any of you have a road rage story. Do you guys get it?
I get road rage all the time.
So what do you do?
Well, it almost always happens when I'm on my bike. And what I do, this is, no, this is true, because people get really close to you. It's very scary, yeah. No joke. And when I get road rage, I chase people down. And
on your bike?
Yeah.
That's great exercise.
Well, that's the problem, because when I get there, I'm exhausted. And I can't really do anything about it except glare at them like while panting heavily. So it's not very effective, but I do get places slightly faster and more sweaty.
Okay. HB?
The best remedy for you to not get road rage is driving a minivan. It's like you get in a zone, like a zen-like zone, where it's like, I'm peaceful, I'm at peace with the world. I used to drive a turbocharged Subaru, it was like every Asian boy racer's dream. And then when I was driving on the highway, I would get all these souped-up Honda Civics cut across me and give me the downward thumb. They wanted to race me. So I get super stressed out because of those cars. But now that I'm
driving a minivan, nobody wants to race you.
Nobody cares.
Jessica, what do you do about road rage?
I have a huge road rage problem. I honk, do the gestures, say things that they can't hear, but I assume they can hear. Atlanta's the worst. They have the worst drivers and the rudest drivers, and I was one of them when I lived there.
Sam?
Yes, because living where I do, I wind up in the left lane behind some Chattooga County drivers that are always doing 40.
Yeah, what is up with that?
55, like, so you wind up having to pass them on the right, trying to take a deep breath and not get mad and realize that, are you really in that big of a hurry? But then, you know, you drive through Cobb County on 75 this morning coming down here and, oh, yeah. It's rough.
All right. Well, here's one way you might calm yourself. Lick your cat. there is a new device that allows you to brush your cat with a tongue.
Is she cleaning the cat with her tongue?
This is getting weird.
Okay. It's called the Licky Brush. It's basically a giant silicone tongue that allows you and your cat to bond. And they say it makes your cat love you. Which one of you are willing to do this? That's a big silence.
Attention, NPR listeners. This is not appropriate.
That is about as nasty as the Kentucky Fried Chicken nail polish we did last time I was here.
At least you're not involving anyone else in that.
Well, that's true. But
I mean, it's just your own nail polish, I would assume. I mean, like, look, the cat likes you fine. It's still there. You don't need to do anything else. As long as it hasn't left, you're doing a great job as a cat owner.
And my understanding is the cat actually owns the person in the cat human relationship.
Wait, are you a cat owner?
I was a cat owner when I was a child, but now I have developed an allergy, and no.
Stefan, are you a cat owner?
Yes, I proudly own cats.
How many?
I don't lick them, though. I pet them occasionally. I feed them mostly. They're fine. They don't need this. This is not a thing.
And if you actually look up what the product looks like, it looks like it belongs in Love Shack. For whatever reason.
I'm not going to go any further into that, HB. Jessica, do you own cats?
I don't own cats. I also have an allergy, but I would like to know if there were any studies conducted to tell us that these cats actually do like this.
It is very difficult to tell when cats like things, I would imagine. Robbie Medwed tweets this. You don't need a device to lick your cat. You jump in full tongue and no regrets.
Oh, Robbie.
Okay, so this is a resounding no. HB, we didn't ask if you had cats.
No. I don't like pets.
Oh,
I like humans.
You don't like pets, period?
Right. I like humans.
We don't even have time to go into that issue because that needs further exploration here. But this is something that our listeners definitely should weigh in on. Would you buy a silicone tongue if you thought it would make your cat more affectionate? Let us know. Tweet us at OSD Talk. We're out of time in the break room today, and I want to say thank you to all of my guests. Sam Burnham curates the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
HB Cho is a reporter for the Korean Daily. Thank you, HB.
Thank you.
And Stefan Turkheimer, lawyer and editor for Georgia Poll. Thank you, Stefan. Jessica Salaji. Sorry about that, Jessica. She writes the Perspicacious Conservative blog, and she's down there in Savannah at our Savannah Bureau. Jessica, thanks.
Thank you.
That's a show, but we always love to hear from you, and we'd like to get your thoughts. And before we end out the week, I wanted to read this one response from a listener on the subject of the Roots miniseries. It says, I'm not a black man, but I agree with Snoop. We are continuously reminded of our terrible past, which only perpetuates the idea of racism, which in today's society is still a very real problem. It's enough we see it on the news every night. Do we have to keep reliving it in our movies? Let's start focusing on the positive and start to come together as a people, not continuously torn apart. You know how to get your thoughts to us. Call us at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OSD Talk. For today and the week, this is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend.